Then we looked at standing for the Christian home. By the way, we've got to stand. But then we need to stand for the home. It's under attack by the devil. And so we talked about standing for the Christian home. And then last month we talked about standing for the local church. We began looking at some of the characters in the local church. And it goes like this. As goes the home, so goes the church. So if we don't have strong homes, we cannot have a strong church. I don't care how you slice it, you cannot. Because the church is made up of families. And so we looked at the home, then we looked at the church. And by the way, those homes and the churches need to stand for the Bible.
Yes, sir.
So now we're going to be looking at standing for the Bible. And let me say this off the top. We at Shining Light Baptist Church, without apology and with conviction, stand on and for the King James Version of the Bible for English speaking people of the world. I don't stutter when I say that. I am not ashamed to stand for the King James Bible. I still believe it's the best translation for the American speaking people and the English speaking people of the world. Amen. Say, preacher, where do you stand on that? That's where I stand. Amen. And that's where this church stands. Jesus here in his wilderness testing and temptation shows us the way to defeat Satan and his temptations when they come our way. And it's going to be by the Bible, the Word of God. So let's close our Bibles and we're going to put our right hands on our Bible and say the pledge to the Bible. All right. So you've got your bulletin there. You can just read right off of your bulletin. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp under my feet and a light under my path and will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Father, bless now the moments that we have together this morning. As we look at you, your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he stood for the word of God. Help us to take that example and stand. Oh, Lord, there is a world out there that does not believe the Bible. But I pray that we would continue to stand for the Bible. As we take this pledge this morning, Lord, we are saying we're going to make it a lamp under our feet. We're saying we're going to make it a light under our path. We're saying we're going to hide his words in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And God, help us to do just that. Help us to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he said, it is written. Help us to live by the word of God and to love it. Well, there's so many scoffers and mockers out there, like we talked about in Sunday school, that want to degrade and depreciate the Bible, the word of God. They want to say we don't need it anymore. They want to say that's man's interpretation. They want to say so many things about it. But God, help us that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ to love it, to learn it, to live it. And Lord, to know that it's precious and we need to lean on it in every aspect of our lives. Bless now the sermon that will be spoken. I pray that ears will be attentive and Lord, hearts would be open. We might gain a blessing more about why we need the Bible and not just take it as a casual book on Sundays, but have it as a book that we must daily live by, that we may learn more about you, our Lord, our Savior, our God in heaven. There's a man, woman, boy, or girl here in this auditorium this morning. They've not been born again. I pray for that soul right now, Lord, that they would be touched in such a way they would come and let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved before it's everlasting too late. Hell's a real place. The Bible warns us about it. But Lord, heaven is just as real as well. And we can get there by trusting in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Bless now the message and in the song. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has a special this morning.
Have I often hid my face?
Gracious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. Till the storm passes by. Amen. You know, it's unfortunate, but that we will have storms in our lives. Amen. We're going to have those situations, those times that come up that we're not going to like. We're not going to want those times to be anywhere close to us, yet and still those times are going to come and we're going to have some storms in our lives. You know, those are the times that we need the Bible. Amen. Talking about the subject today, standing for the Bible and why we need the Bible. You know, we pray the model prayer. And a part of the model prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. We pray thy will be done. But the will of God is not going to be done by arguments or man's will. The will of God is not going to be done by negotiations or man's words. The will of God is not going to be done by intellect or man's wisdom. It's going to be by the word of God. God said it, that settles it. We just need to do it. Amen. The Bible, God's word, is what we're talking about today. And as we look at stand for the Bible, our focus will be the word of God, our Bible, all month long. We need to read it. We need to heed it. Why? Because we need it. Amen. How many of y'all like to eat? I think we all like to eat. Amen. But if you don't eat, you're going to waste away. For the Christian, if the Christian does not eat the word of God, and I said eat the word of God because it means you've got to take it in. You've got to digest it, amen. Go over it some and let it do its job in your life. You know, we eat food to get energy, amen. For spiritual energy, you need the word of God. If you don't have the word of God, you have no spiritual energy. Preacher, but I have energy. It's physical energy, not spiritual, amen. And spiritual energy is going to come from the word of God. And so we need it. We need to love it. We need to learn it. We need to lean on it and live by it daily in its context. Let me tell you one thing that gets a lot of Christians in trouble. They don't read the Bible in its context.
That's right, Pastor. They don't.
Does God want you to go build an ark? Probably not, but Noah did.
Yes, sir.
Does God want you to go sacrifice your son? No, but Abraham was going to.
Yes, sir, he was.
Hey, does God want you to stand between two pillars and knock it down like Samson did? Probably not. But Samson did.
Yes, sir,
And so a lot of things we take in the Bible, if you cut your hair off, are you going to lose your strength? I hope not. Samson got his hair cut off and he lost his strength. I hope that doesn't happen. Amen. There's a lot of things in the Bible, contextually speaking, that if you don't know the context or the setting, you can apply it inappropriately to your life. And many Christians do that. By the way, how many of y'all are keeping the Ten Commandments right now? By the way, Jesus put them down to two. And by the way, that still doesn't save you. The only thing that saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, should we go out and try to break every commandment because we're not under the law anymore? No, we shouldn't. But Jesus put it this way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. This is the first commandment. He said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, everything in the Old Testament can be capsuled in there. Because if you love God, you've got the first part done. If you love others, you've got the rest of it done. Amen. Amen. You won't kill. You won't steal. You won't covet. You won't lie. You won't commit adultery. You won't do any of those things if you love your neighbor. If you love your parents, you'll honor them. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's not based on love. It's based on obedience for the children. Amen. Children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. Amen. And so Matthew chapter 4 shows us why we need the Bible. And we won't get done with all this today, but we will start it. As they say, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it got started. Amen. So we're going to start on Rome today and get that thing built. And so Matthew chapter 4, why we need the Bible. Well, number one, we need the Bible because of the wilderness that awaits us. The wilderness that awaits us. Notice verse number 1 with me again. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Interesting. Jesus Christ being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew 4:1 says Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. My friend, don't be surprised when the Holy Spirit of God leads us into wilderness experiences. It's not going to always be a smooth road. It's not going to always be smooth sailing. The Christian life is not going to always be peachy keen. It's not going to always be happy. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I thought it was going to be a joyride. Anybody else thought that?
Amen.
I thought when I got saved, hey, I'm saved. I'm no longer under the devil's spell. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not hell bound anymore. Woo! It's going to be smooth sailing. The angels are singing, and I stepped out there, and the devil slapped me in the head. And I thought, I didn't sign up for this. But when I signed up with Jesus Christ, guess what? I signed up against the devil, and he slapped me in my head and made my hair fall off. Now y'all know why I'm bald. No, I'm just joking. What am I saying? If I knew it was going to be like that, I may have not done it so quick. Or I may have done it a lot earlier so I could be used to it by now. But I didn't get saved until I was 27. And I was in for a rude awakening. Wilderness experiences await us. Young children, you get used to it now. So when you get older, you already know about it. How many got saved after 25? Amen. We know what it's like. We got saved. We thought, woo, I'm saved. It's all over. Everybody's going to love me. Everybody's going to smile at me. Everybody's going to shake my hand. How you doing? And then they come up there and say, I don't like you. And I think, well, what did I do? You weren't those Jesus people. Yeah. And so wilderness experiences start. Jesus was led into the wilderness. We need the Bible because wilderness experiences await us. Wilderness means lonesome, desert, desolate, solitary. In other words, there's nobody around. Now, for some of you, you say, man, that sounds sweet to me. Amen. Not to hear the kids, not to hear my husband, not to hear my wife, not to hear my coworkers, not to hear this or that. Well, that sounds good. Yeah, it sounds good when it's your choice. But it doesn't sound good when it's somebody else's choice. When somebody else puts you in the desert. When somebody else puts you in solitary. When someone else puts you out there by yourself. It's one thing to do it yourself. But it's another thing when somebody directs you to the desert. Lonesome, desert, desolate, solitary. We need the Bible because of the wilderness that awaits us. We'll all have wilderness experiences from time to time that have been ordered by God Almighty to test us. Think about some of the wilderness experiences that Jesus might have gone through as a child. Growing up, the Son of God, but having two earthly parents there, and then having sisters and brothers. And you were Jesus, the perfect one. Can you imagine being the perfect one in your family as a child? And everybody's looking at you. You never do anything wrong. Mom don't ever get on you. Daddy don't ever get on you. Anybody like that? Sister, you were perfect? Amen. I was the one that I always did everything wrong, it seemed. I think it was just because I was the only boy and I needed a scapegoat. But to be Jesus Christ, to be the perfect one in the family. And he had to grow up that way. And I'm sure he had his skirmishes. One commentary said this, because we don't get much about Jesus' life when he was a child. Says maybe there was a school bully he had to deal with. How do you think Jesus dealt with the school bully? Now, he couldn't use his powers and say, be gone. He couldn't turn him into a toad. I mean, that's not right. It's not godly. He couldn't, you know, do one of these like these superheroes, you know, Iron Man, and then throw him against the wall. He couldn't do that. That's not godly. That's not of God. But how do you think Jesus dealt with the bullies at school? Interesting. We don't know. Every school has one, don't they? Every school's got one. Amen. Even Christian schools have one. So maybe there was a school bully to deal with. He says, maybe there was a jealous brother to deal with. Many homes have one, or a jealous sister to deal with. Amen. Maybe there was an opinionated rabbi he had to deal with. Many churches have one. Maybe there was a dishonest tradesman he had to deal with as a carpenter. Maybe most towns have one. He said maybe there was a spiteful neighbor he had to deal with. Many communities have one. But moment by moment, step by step, situation by situation, Jesus was filled with the Spirit and went through these wilderness experiences as a child. Now he's stepping out into the public life. He's been baptized, and immediately the Spirit sends him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He's going to be tempted like he never was been tempted before. The school bully is nothing like what the devil is. And so into the wilderness he goes. During the wilderness time, Satan will try to take advantage of us and take advantage of the situation and tempt us to do wrong and not trust God. What am I saying? The wilderness that awaits us, that's why we need the Bible. First of all, consider this. There will be times in the wilderness when there will be no one to encourage us. You ever needed encouragement?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And you wanted someone to say the right thing, but you yourself don't know what the right thing is? And so because you yourself don't know what the right thing is that needs to be said, no one can encourage you with the right thing. That in and of itself can be a wilderness experience. Because you're needing encouragement and you want to continue on and it seems hard and it's desolate and it's solitary. Although you're surrounded with people, although there are friends around you, although there's family around you, you need encouragement to continue on, but nobody knows. That's a wilderness experience. Husbands don't know how to encourage. Wives don't know how to encourage. The children don't know how to encourage. No fault to them. They just don't know what you need. And you don't know what you need. Do you know that in the Christian life, the wilderness experiences as weights, and there's going to be sometimes no one to encourage us? Yet we got to go on. Yet we have to continue. And yet we have to go in this wilderness state. We'll need the Bible. You say, preacher, why would we need the Bible? We'll need the Bible to find that David said in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. But the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hey, why do we need the Bible? When I get to that wilderness experience, when there's no encouragement there, I can go to the Lord and say, oh God, no one can encourage me like you can. You saved me. You love me. You know me. You've borne me all this time. Lord, encourage my heart. Lord, help me see you. Moses said this way, show me thy glory. Let me see a glimpse of you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, look, I'm in the wilderness. No one knows this. My men are going to stone me. Saul is after me. I'm out of my home. I'm in a cave. Everybody's against me, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. David said, Lord, it's just me and you. You know, in wilderness situations, it's just going to be you and your Lord. Why do we need the Bible? The Bible tells us that God is there with us wherever we go. Whether it's in a cave, whether it's down, whether it's out. I don't have the encouragement, but guess what? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Why do I need the Bible? The Bible shows me where the encouragement is at. It shows me where the encouragement is at. Not only that, there will be times in the wilderness when there will be seem to be no joy in our lives. No pun intended, sister.
Amen.
No joy. We're going to go down our lives sometime, and I already don't have any encouragement, but now I don't have any joy. I just don't feel good about my Christian life right now. Things aren't going the way I thought they should go. The situations that I find myself in aren't the best situations. My job is not going right. My school is not going right. My friends aren't going right. My girlfriend's not going right. My boyfriend's not going right. My spouse is not going right. My relatives aren't going right. My church is not going right. It's just not going right. I have no joy. Sometimes we're going to be there. That's a wilderness experience. I don't have joy. I don't know why I don't have joy, but I don't. I don't feel good about things right now. I just don't feel good. What do you do? I seem to be in this rat race. It just seems to be going round and round. And the more I go around, the more I don't go anyplace. That's a wilderness experience. We'll need the Bible to find that Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hey, when I don't have any encouragement, when I don't have any joy, I can flip through the pages of my Bible and read what Nehemiah said. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, we don't need joy. We need Jesus, and Jesus will give us the joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't need joy. If I've got Jesus, he'll give me my joy. Our problem is we look for joy in things and not in Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I find my joy in my car. I find my joy in my computer. I find my joy in my job. I find my joy in my wife or my husband, which you ought to, amen. But that's not the source of your joy. I find my joy in my children. I find my joy in this or that. Hey, our joy is in Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, risen again, and coming soon. That's where my joy is at. And when I have joy in Jesus Christ in a wilderness experience, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Jesus is with me. The song goes, when shadows fall, the night covers all. There are things that I cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. He watches over me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. If Jesus Christ is in my heart, hey, I may not get the encouragement. I may not have the joy, but I have Jesus. That's all I need. That's all I need. What am I saying? Why do we need the Bible? There are going to be times in the wilderness when we have no encouragement. There'll be times in the wilderness when we have no joy. But then there'll be times in the wilderness when there will be no quick healing in our lives. I'm just sick. I'm sick, and I'm prolonged sick. I'm chronically sick. I'm sick for the rest of my life. Sick. I'm sick, and the doctor said there's no hope for me. Sick. Hey, there's going to be those times when the doctor's going to tell you there's no hope. There's no hope. This is your lot in life. There's nothing you can do about it. You might as well suck it up. I was out last week and the Wednesday before that with back spasms. And it was due to an injury that I had on my job and had several back surgeries to get it right. And they messed it up several times. And the fifth time or fourth time? One of those times. It was too many times, put it that way. Amen. They said, well, we can go back in and we can tweak it a little bit to make it a little bit better. But you're always going to have pain the rest of your life. I looked at the doctor. I said, look, man, I'm 35 years old. I'm too young for that. No, back aches are for folks that are older. I'm young. You got to be kidding me. Well, we can go back in and do surgery and let y'all do what you just did to me the last couple of times. No, I'm not doing that either. He said, well, son, you're just going to have to live with pain. So guess what I live with?
Pain.
Mr. Pain. When I wake up in the morning, guess who Mr. Pain says? Hi, Greg, remember me? I'm right here. And I say, ooh, yeah, I remember you. And the last week, he said, remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. He said, I'm going to do something that you really despise. I'm going to take your body and I'm going to twist it out of joint. My lower torso was here. My upper torso was over there. The spasm was so bad it had pulled my body out of joint. He said, how you like that? And I was walking around kind of like this. My wife said, look at you. I said, I'm trying not to. It's painful. Just painful to have it. It's even more painful to look in the mirror and see it. And so I walked around like this for the longest. I thought, this is not going well. And each step, it hurt. And what happened? Mr. Payne.
Ouch.
So when you have chronic illnesses and you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, can you give me something? There'll be times in the wilderness where there'll seem to be no quick healing in our lives. We need the Bible to find that God said in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hey, I may not get a physical healing, but I got a spiritual healing. And one day I'm getting a glorified body, amen. And when I see Jesus, I won't have to worry about back spasms anymore. Hallelujah. Hey, won't have to worry about these cancers. Won't have to worry about these tumors. Won't have to worry about these heart attacks. Won't have to worry about these lung diseases. Won't have to worry about this rheumatism anymore. Won't have to worry about that arthritis anymore. Hey, won't have to worry about these sickness anymore. No more headaches. No more spasms. None of that stuff. All gone. Hallelujah. I'm getting a new body. And I need to know that God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Hey, I had a brother that died after 10 hours of birth. Lamar Dawson was his name. I get to see him in heaven. I get to see him. Why? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I get a chance to see my grandfather in heaven who died of bone marrow cancer. Why? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I get a chance to see my grandmother. We had Alzheimer's and died. My Aunt Carrie, I get a chance to see her. Get a chance to see my mother-in-law. Get a chance to see a lot of people. Why? I am the Lord that healeth thee. See, sometimes we're going to have some wilderness experiences in our lives, maybe not us, but a loved one, and we can't bear the sight of seeing our loved ones like that.
Right.
And that can be a wilderness experience. We need the Bible to find that God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. There will be times in the wilderness when there will seem to be not just no one to encourage us or no joy in our lives, no quick healing in our lives. And believe it or not, I'm sure you've been here before, there will be no answers to prayer in our life, it seems. We pray and we pray and we pray and we wonder, is God hearing? Is God listening? God, are you there? And we seem to get no answer. We're praying for a loved one. We're praying for a spouse. We're praying for a healing. We're praying for an education. We're praying for that wayward child to turn around. We're praying for that husband to love us or that wife to love us or those children to straighten out. We're praying for that boss. We're praying for that friend. We're praying for that sister. Praying for that brother. And we say, Lord, are you hearing? Lord, look at them. They're still in the state that they're in. And we wonder. And we'll need the Bible to find that God said, Jeremiah 33:3, it's on our bulletin every week. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, call, I'll answer you. But we have to understand, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day.
Amen.
God's timetable is not the same timetable as we have. We just have to remember what he said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We give up so quick. We don't see an answer to prayer, and we quit. We don't get what we think we deserve, and we quit. The child doesn't turn around quickly, and we quit. The spouse doesn't turn around so quickly, and we quit. The boss doesn't change so quickly, and we quit. The children are at odds with each other, and we quit. We quit. But Jeremiah 33. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. What am I saying? Why do we need the Bible? We need the Bible because there will be times in the wilderness when there will be no one to encourage us. There will be times in the wilderness when there will be seem to be no joy in our lives. There will be times in our lives where there will seem to be no quick healing in our lives. There will seem to be no quick answer to prayer. Why do we need the Bible? We need the Bible for the wilderness that awaits us. All of us will go through one. Jesus had to go through one. And we need the Bible to see what God has done before and know that he'll do it for us. By the way, my friend, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, the Spirit may lead you into a wilderness situation, but we need the Bible. to get through that wilderness. Number two, why we need the Bible. By the way, what's your wilderness experience today? Everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. And by the way, sometimes they're self-directed wildernesses, but other times they're spirit-directed wildernesses. God is testing us to see what we're going to do, to see if we're going to stand, to see if we're going to fall. Jesus right now is being tested by Satan. Notice verse number two. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Why do we need the Bible? Number two, we need the Bible because of the weakness that awaits us. The weakness. There'll be times when we go through the wilderness experiences of life when we will become physically weakened. By the way, those times may include no encouragement, no joy, no healing, no seeming answer to prayer, which can make us physically weakened, which can then lead to being spiritually weakened, and Satan knows it. He knows that when you're tested in the wilderness, you can get weak and worn down physically. And that is the time, my friend, he wants to attack, because he knows that oftentimes your physical weakness will tie into your spiritual weakness. Pain can do things for you, make you vulnerable. Fatigue can do things to you, make you vulnerable. We need the Bible to remind us what David said in Psalm 102:17 about being weak. He says he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. In our weakness, sometimes it seems like God is not answering our prayers, but it's only a matter of time until the testing is over and he'll answer. Mrs. Dawson sang the song, Till the Storm Passes By. Sometimes we're going to go through some wildernesses and the storm is going to seem to last a lot longer than what it should. We were driving around yesterday and I told the boys, I said, it looked like it's going to rain. They said, yeah, Dad, you washed your car, so it's going to rain. You know what happens when your car's full of dust and then you get just a sprinkle? Your car looks like a leopard. It had all these spots on it, amen. And I thought, sure enough, amen, there we go. And I took the poll early and only about three of y'all got rained on yesterday. I was one of the three. Got to go wash my car again, amen. And I should make my boys wash it. But I went to the automatic washer, saved them, so they wouldn't go in the wilderness themselves. Amen. Amen. But in weakness, it may seem like God isn't answering our prayers, but it's only a matter of time. The testing is over. The words to the song go like this. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. You know, in the wilderness, there's no place to hide. You're just exposed to the elements. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Stanza two. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try. Don't you hear that? Why are you even trying to be good? Why are you trying to be kind to them? Why are you trying to forgive them? Why are you trying to love that spouse of yours? Why are you trying to raise those kids by the Bible? Why are you trying to discipline them? Why are you trying to give them a Christian education? Why are you even trying to do it? Satan whispers all the time, give up. Give up. What's the use? Fail. 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 Satan doesn't like success. Unless you're a successful sinner, which there are no successful sinners. It says, the storms howl above me. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me. Hallelujah. And tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Amen. I remember a song when I first got saved called An Uncloudy Day. Going to be an uncloudy day when I get to heaven. No clouds. Stanza 3 says, when the long night is ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. You know why I learned about that? In the Bible. Amen. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. What did he say? Let me stand. What's our theme? Stand. Let me stand. Lord, I want to stand. I'm in the wilderness, and Lord, it's tough. It's destitute. I've got no joy. I've got no prayers answering, it seems like. And it seems like I've got nothing. And I'm physically weakened. By the way, when you look at this area in the wilderness, we must weather the storms. Use your Bible. Turn over to 2 Corinthians just for a moment. Keep your finger there in verse 4. We'll come back right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. Paul here talks about his sufferings that he's gone through, some of his wilderness journey. And notice what he says down here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So Paul says, I've been fasting here. I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. That happens when you're in the wilderness. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in the wilderness. And it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. So he's in this weakness state. He's in this wilderness state. And you and I will need the Bible to tell us how to handle the wilderness state, how to handle the weakness state, because we will be weak. Paul was weak, but he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong in Christ. We're going to be weak. We're going to be weak. When you read the whole context of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, you'll find that Paul went through much more in his wilderness experiences. Yet God was glorified by his life during the wilderness experiences of his life. And by the way, as you and I go through our wildernesses and our weaknesses, God wants to be glorified. He cannot be glorified if you don't know how to glorify him. How do I know how to glorify him, preacher? Through the Bible, the Word of God. It's the only way I know what's going to make him pleasing, when I would please him when I go through my wilderness, when I get weak. What do I do, Lord, when I'm weak? What do I do in the wilderness, God? Tell me what I need to do. He will show you in the Bible, the Word of God. But guess what? If I don't read it, if I don't heed it, I won't know how to get past the wilderness experiences. We need the Bible for encouragement through the weakness that awaits us, because sure enough, as the wilderness experience comes on, the weakness comes right after it. You get outside in the sun all day long, it'll beat you down tired. It'll drain you. Why? You're perspiring. It's taking the moisture out of your body, and you get tired. He was afterward and hungered. Why do we need the Bible for the weakness that we're going to go through? Why do we need the Bible for the wilderness we're going to go through? Number three, why do we need the Bible? Because of the wiles that awaits us. Notice verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I'm going to start this today, and we're not going to finish it, but I'm just going to give you a couple things to think about. When you and I have our wilderness experiences and become physically weakened, the tempter is always waiting for us with his wiles. Why? He knows that spiritual weakness is not far off, like a shark smelling blood. He knows if he can get you physically weakened, you're going to get spiritually weakened more times than not. Think about it. How much do you want to read your Bible when you're tired? Not a whole lot. How much scripture do you want to memorize when you're tired? Not a whole lot. What do you want to do for God when you're tired? Not a whole lot. When we get physically weakened, the tempter is there, ready to pounce. The Lord Jesus Christ is in this wilderness state. He's weak, and now Satan comes with his wiles, going to try and tempt him because he knows he's physically weak. He's going to try to catch him when he's spiritually weak, but he's going to be mistaken. You and I aren't Jesus Christ, though. But we have what Jesus Christ did. The wiles that awaits us. Why do we need the Bible? The tempter favors times of physical weakness in our lives over times of spiritual strength in our lives. Think about it. If you had an opponent to fight, would you rather fight a strong opponent or a weak opponent? Satan's no dummy. He would rather fight a weak Christian than a strong Christian. He'd much rather get someone that's not going to give him a battle as opposed to someone that will give him a battle. And so if you're the one, guess what? I'll get the weakest link. Tempter means to test. So he's trying to test the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to scrutinize. He's trying to scrutinize Jesus Christ. It means to entice. He's trying to entice Jesus. It means to examine. He's trying to examine the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to prove. He's trying to prove Jesus or try him. And guess what? He's trying to do the same thing to you and I. The word wiles means it's a method. It's a scheme. It's trickery. It's to lie in wait. It's to trap or to ensnare. The test for Jesus was this. If you are the Son of God and you're hungry, turn these stones to bread. Now, actually, is there anything wrong with turning stones to bread? Nothing. Was he the Son of God? Yes, he was. Could he command the stones into bread? Yes, he could. What's the problem? Is it a legitimate need, physically speaking? Yes, it is. However, it would be at the will of the devil and not in the will of God. You be careful when you go through your wilderness temptations. You're already in the wilderness. You're already weak. You're physically weak, which oftentimes is going to make you spiritually weak. And the Satan with his wiles have come to tempt you. But at the same time, God is testing you to see where you're going to stand. To see where you're going to stand. I remember that first time when I stopped drinking. And a fella asked me that I want something to drink. I said, no, I don't want nothing to drink. He said, ah, sure you do. No, I don't. He said, I'll leave it right here. Man, I looked at that thing and I salivated like a dog at water. I thought, I really want that. I really want that. But no, I don't want it. No, I don't want it. It's against God. God's not going to be pleased. I don't want it. But the flesh said, but you want it. What happened? The tempter came. Already physically weak, now spiritually weak. And I had to go back to what the Bible said. Don't defile yourself. And I had to remember, what did I learn in the Bible? But my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I had to say, no. What happened? The tempter said, take it. What helped me? The word of God. Hey, it's not by man's wisdom and man's will. That doesn't give God any glory. It's the word of God that gives God the glory. When I fell on the word of God, it gave me the victory. Was it a legitimate need? Yes. Could he have commanded it into bread? Yes. Was he the Son of God? Yes. But it would have been at the will of the devil and not the will of God. Why do we need the Bible? For the wiles that awaits us. There's several verses I want to go through, but I'm not going to go through them this week. I'll go through them next week. But there's an interesting commentary that I found that I want to conclude with this morning. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 2 says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. There's a spiritual side to that, but there's a physical side to this. You ever notice somebody that was in a coma or that was knocked out for a prolonged time, a period? You know what's the first thing they give them? Liquids. You know what's the last thing they give them? Solids. What did the devil say? Turn it into bread. I read this commentary that said this. A prolonged fast has to be broken gradually and initially with liquids. Solid food could kill. That's why in the hospitals they don't give them solid food. That's why we don't give babies solid food. Solid food can kill someone that has not had it for a long time. It could kill them right out. Satan wants us killed off without a testimony, without a witness for Jesus Christ, by doing things his way. Hey, turn this thing, and it could potentially be physically damaging to the person. I read it, I thought, wow, I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. It would have been better if he just said, why don't you try and get some water out of that rock? Oh, but no, Moses already did that. Well, turn it into bread, he said. It could potentially be hazardous to his health. If you're fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and then you're going to try and ingest bread right away, it's going to be dangerous to the person. What am I saying? Satan does not want anything good for you. Not only would it not be in the will of God, it would be at the will of the devil. It's potentially dangerous and harmful for him. The devil does not want you to follow God's advice. He wants you to follow his advice because he knows it's going to be dangerous to your life. Oh, it sounds good. Turn this. Oh, yeah, I'm so hungry. By the way, when you fast for 40 days, you can't eat hardly nothing anyway. Your stomach has shrunk down. Anybody ever fast and you try to eat all you could? You can't get anything in your stomach. You think, man, I'm full already. So what am I saying? The wiles await us. Why do we need the Bible? Satan has traps. He has some tricks out there that he's trying to trap you and I into. And it's going to come when we're in the wilderness. It's going to come when we have a weakness. And he's going to bring these traps and these wiles into our lives to try to get to do things his way, not God's way. Why do we need the Bible? We need to know what to do in the wilderness. We need to know what to do when we're weak. We need to know what to do when Satan brings the wiles. My question, what's your wilderness? What's your weakness? Because Satan will come with the wiles for your wilderness and your weakness to trap you. He knows you're there. He knows that God has allowed you to be in the wilderness. He knows you're weak. And he says, let me give you some substitute for the will of God. Don't read the Bible, but if you're going to read the Bible, misquote it a little bit. Don't do what God wants you to do. Do what I tell you to do. And I'll circumvent God's system. Yeah, and it could be potentially dangerous. What's your wilderness? What's your weakness? Satan has a wiles, a trap for your weakness.
Yes, he does.
In your wilderness. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. One thing that Jesus has, though, he is the Son of God. And you and I need to have the Son of God. You and I cannot resist temptation unless we have the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible is very clear. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Father, bless now the next moments that we have. There may be one under the sound of my voice that has a wilderness experience they're going through right now. It could be Savior directed. Lord, you could have led them into this wilderness. It could be self-directed by choices they made. They could be in the wilderness. Lord, in this wilderness, they're weak. There's no joy. There's no encouragement. There seems to be no answer to prayer. They seem to just be going through the motions. Maybe there's no healing in this wilderness. And now because of that wilderness, they're physically weak. And because of them being physically weak, Satan is coming with his wiles. Lord, I don't know what is going on in everybody's life here, but you know the wilderness. You know their weakness. You know the wiles that Satan is trying to bring. God, I pray for these individuals that have a situation going on in their lives. They would choose the Word of God, the Bible. And they would say like Jesus said to Satan, it is written, and give a verse of Scripture. Lord, maybe there's one under the sound of my voice that needs to be saved today. There's a man, there's a woman, there's a boy or girl, and I pray for that one. That they would come and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Bless down this invitation. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around just for a moment. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're amongst people that love you. We want you to be saved today. And if you died today, you're not sure that heaven is your home. I want to pray for you today. Would you raise your hand just right where you're at? Raise your hand so I can pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room. You say, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me, Pastor? All across the room, man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. Well, perhaps you have a wilderness situation going on. And it's been followed by a weakness situation as well. And perhaps the wiles are there, the tempter is there. And you say, preacher, pray for me that I could choose God's way and not Satan's way. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you today. I'm sure there's several. Amen. I see hands going up all over the place. I've got a wilderness situation. I've got a weakness. Amen. Amen. You may put them down. Amen. Anyone else join these? I want to pray for you. You know, I can pray for you, but it'd be so, so much better if you prayed for yourself as well. Father, bless now. These hands have been raised. These hearts have been exposed. And Lord, I'm sure there are many wilderness experiences going on right now, whether it be no joy, no encouragement, no quick healing, no answer to prayer. I'm sure there are many, many other wilderness experiences there, but Lord, these wilderness experiences can make us weak. And when we get physically weak, Lord, we often get spiritually weak. We don't want to do the things of God. And so, Lord, I pray for these individuals that whatever it is that they're going through, you would help them Give them wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God. They might find the answers. They may be able to quote the Bible and stand on the Bible. And Lord, they would choose the will of God over the wiles of Satan. And Lord, for that one that is hanging in the balance this morning, doesn't know that they're saved, help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to get things settled with you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Miss Natasha is going to play a hymn of invitation. God spoke in your heart. Why don't you come? Maybe you need to just come and say, Lord, I'm going through a period of wilderness. I'm going through a period of weakness. Help me to be strong against the tempter in the wilds. Or maybe you say, oh, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you're at, would you come? Would you come? Maybe you've been saved recently. You want to give a public profession of your salvation. Would you come? How about it? Let God speak to your heart today. Hey, we're all going to face wilderness times. We need the Bible. We're all going to have weaknesses. We need the Bible. The tempter is always going to be there with his wiles. We need the Bible. We need the Bible. What about you today? I know I've had my share of wildernesses. I've had my share of weaknesses. I've had my share of the wiles, the tempter coming. I've had my share. But there's hope. There's the Bible. There's the Word of God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah said, call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. David said, he'll regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. What am I saying? We're going to have wildernesses, but there's hope in the wilderness. There's help in the wilderness. There's a hand of mercy in the wilderness. We may be weak, but there's the hand of God. We may be tempted by the wiles, but there's a hand of God. There's the Word of God. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? The Bible, the Word of God, we need it. Oh, but preacher, I don't have any time for it. You don't have time to not have time. Make time. None of us have time. We got to make time. Read it, heed it. Why? We need it. Why we need the Bible. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the Bible, the precious Word of God that we have, that we can stand for and on through the wilderness experiences. Thank you, Lord, that in those same wilderness experiences, we will get weak. The Lord Jesus Christ fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he hungered. But Lord, help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Help us to hunger and thirst for your word. Help us to hunger and thirst for that which is right. Because the wiles are just around the corner in the wilderness when we're weak to tempt us. God, thank you so much that you've given us your word. And it can heal us and it can keep us safe in these times that we go through. Lord, we'll experience them. Some will have them today. Some will have them tonight. Some will have them tomorrow. But God, help us to live according to the word of God and the ways of God. Thank you for loving us. And meet our need, Lord, like only you can. Bless us in our meeting tonight as we come back with Brother Pinson. Pray that everything will be done to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just for a moment, we've got a dear young man here. Gave me a phone call. I had a chance to visit with him. Tony Radcliffe is his name. And he accepted Christ as his Savior on Friday night, amen. And he wanted to come and give a public profession of his testimony. So I'll give him a hand, amen, praising God for his goodness and what he has done, amen. And God has been good to us once again, amen, by saving Tony Radcliffe. Appreciate that, God. worked in his life. And you know, I had mentioned on Wednesday how we never know how God is working in a person's life, and got a chance to talk with him, and he had some situations going on. He said, you know, I just want to get back to God again. Amen. And God does that sometimes. He gets us in situations where I just got to find God again. Amen. To make life what it needs to be. And it's complete with Jesus Christ. Amen. And he made a public profession of his testimony. And I'm so excited to have him as a brother in Christ. Amen. So you make sure you come up and give him the right hand of fellowship when the service is over. Brother Joe, if you can come in real quick and read through the announcements.